let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Cloud People is a fun and vibrant fantasy novel by Kennard Tuzanu, a Catholic priest for over 40 years, currently serving as pastor of a large parish in southeastern New Jersey. The story of Billy. That's a typical middle grade boy who is excited to spend his summer vacation with his grandparents in Indiana. And on this trip, he's going alone. The vacation is filled with lessons on life, loyalty, and friendship, and lots of surprises. And a big one at the end that will leave you guessing. Monsignor Kennard Tuzanu is the author of the imaginative young adult fiction, The Cloud People. And he's back with us on This Week in America. Monsignor, a pleasure to have you back on the program. I was excited to see you're going to be back with us. Love what you've done at the book. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Great to be with you again. I enjoyed our chat the last time. I'm looking forward to it again.
Well, it's such an interesting book in the back. It's our pleasure. An interesting book, and the backstory is interesting as well. Let's start off by talking about where this idea came from. Mysterious cloud beings, a summer vacation, a boy going to visit his grandparents. Where did this idea come from?
Well, it actually came, I was visiting my brother who lives in Tennessee. And of course, because of the distance I was flying, and I've always liked to look out the window. Usually when I go, I do take a window seat. And this particular time there were, as is not unusual, there's always clouds outside the plane. And this particular time, as we were getting close to the airport, we were in the midst of all these huge fluffy clouds. And for some reason, the thought popped in my head, suppose there was this face, you know, in the clouds. And then that just kind of like set off a spark. And then I imagined this whole world of cloud people. So it started out as just kind of like a simple idea. I'm used to writing shorter stories and then just evolved. And it just kept writing and writing and writing. And to be honest, when I first started, I didn't have the end in mind, but it sort of was developing as I wrote. But it began with that little thought, you know, seeing the clouds and say, well, suppose you saw a face in the clouds, and that just kind of like captured me and got me going. So that all started with that.
It's a story that we can all relate to. Kids, adults, we always see something like that or think we do, and we want to say to the person next to us, do you see what I see in that cloud formation over there? You've taken it to the story. I might mention for the Monsignor, this is their school festival, a church festival. Occasionally, you'll hear some background music in the background. Just enjoy it. That's what they're enjoying at the school carnival. How's the carnival going so far, by the way?
We'll do it well, but a little bit hot, but they're great. It's a great time. I love to see a lot of families, a lot of little kids, and it's just a delight to see them having a good time. We have great food. We do our own food, and we try to keep the prices down, and of course some great rides, which I love to watch, but will not go on for ride. Although the swings we go on one night later on after everybody leaves, they give us that, but some of the more challenging ones I enjoy watching, but I will not go on.
I don't blame you for that at all. The food is great. The camaraderie, having everybody there at the church festival, brings back great memories when you bring that up and you talk about it. The book is The Cloud People, and the main character is Billy. Talk about how you developed Billy, and is some of you in Billy?
Yes, bingo, you got it. yeah, there's a little bit of autobiography in Billy, just kind of like his personality, his curiosity. Because some of what he does is what I've always imagined doing. I mean, like many people, I've always looked at the clouds. There's one that I don't want to give it away, but there's one dream. I put it in quotes because it turns out, is it a dream or is it real? Or he's flying above the cloud. That's always been one of my fantasies. I remember as a kid watching Lost in Space, I was fascinated with those jetpacks.
Oh, yes, yes.
But imagine that, you know, like, and sometimes I was sitting in my backyard and imagine like soaring, swooping in around the trees and, I like being above that. So that certainly is a part of me. The visit to the grandparents reminds me a little bit of my grandparents' home, which was about 20 minutes from where I grew up. And they called it a farm, but it was really like a former farm. So there's definitely autobiographical stuff in there for me. Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's different for Billy, as I mentioned this time, because he's going alone and he picks up a camera that he's going to take with him, except, well, you tell the story. He doesn't have the camera when he's on the plane, does he?
No, because he got it for his birthday present. And he's all excited and he's going to, part of it was just because it's a new toy, but he said, well, I'm going to, you know, kind of like keep a little travel log that he can share with his family who wasn't going with him. But of course, in the excitement, he forgets it, you know. And then, and of course, part of that is sort of like, you know, the mystery of, you know, everybody said, oh, they're sighting a Bigfoot, but where's the picture?
Well, he's exactly.
seen clown people, but he has no, which is part of the intrigue, you know, kind of like leaving people guessing, you know, like, well, he wasn't able to take a picture of it, but did he see it? Didn't he see it? So that little tiny detail is also, I think, kind of like an invitation for people to use their own imaginations.
The book is The Cloud People. You can find the book wherever books are sold. The author is Kennard Tuzenu. That's Tuzeneu. The book available wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about some of the themes that you develop in telling the story, The Cloud People. You touch on some very important themes, not only for young people, but for grown adults as well.
Yeah, I'd say probably the overarching one is imagination. I say this many, many times, but so many of the advertisements for movies and stories and things are dark, you know, and ominous and violent. And
yes.
And I think imagination is one of the greatest gifts that we have, and I think it can be used in a positive way. So I wanted to people think of that in a positive way, using it to see happy things. So the use of one's imagination, family, very much family values, the interaction. Of course, the grandparents are kind of like a little bit more traditional, but they impose family values, which Billy easily accepts because he just kind of like realizes that is their expectation. And I think, you know, that's important, you know, to realize, you know, mutual respect, really, and there's love there. And of course, I love Uncle Frank. He's like the quirky uncle who's a part of the story, but also he's very loving and very much so. We all have relatives that are a little bit different, but great people. And then of course, the dear friend Megan. So I like the human interaction and kind of like the idea of relationships. But then there's also the themes of like loyalty, because he has this great discovery of this world. I mean, like, who wouldn't like to be the first one to discover these cloud people? And actually is the first human being to actually physically meet them and communicate with them. And so this is an incredible secret. And you figure, like, you like to tell the whole world, but out of loyalty to them, he's kind of like a task with honoring their secrecy, you know. So it's kind of like loyalty to them and that promise, you know. So there's a lot of themes like that, you know. So they're just traditional basic values kind of like woven in, you know, in the story.
I like that relationship between Billy and Megan that you touched on. Talk about that. She's there for him and they share this.
Correct. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, cool. I almost lament the fact that they live so far apart, because they do have this kind of like, but, and that's part of the story. You see how their relationship goes. Of course, they're still kids yet, but it's just kind of like cool to see that budding relationship, a little hints of, you know, like, in fact, I had some people that read it and said, oh, what's going to happen to Billy and Megan? But they connect. And of course, initially he wants to tell her because like she's his good friend and like he's embarrassed. And so eventually he tells her, and at first she kind of like just laughs and said, oh, you know, because they were always teasing one another. And she figured, well, this is just another one of his jokes. But when she kind of like realizes, though, this is real, and she gets kind of like drawn into that. And as it turns out, she also has the opportunity to meet the cloud people. So that kind of like strengthens her bond even more, to see that kind of like trust between them and that friendship grow. I think that's for me, that's kind of like one of the cool parts of the story.
Yeah. What was it like developing all of the characters? We feel like we know them as we're reading the book, the cloud people. What went into developing these characters and then the interaction between them?
Well, that some of it is autobiographical. I think of my own life, my own family. I'm blessed to come from a good, a close-knit family. So I think of some of those relationships. Some of my great memories are vacations in the summer. Now for us, we all went together. It was camping. But I think just my own memories of family, you know, those relationships, you know, that love, that respect, having fun, you know, and laughing. So I think a lot of that, you know, goes into that. Yeah.
Without giving too much away, I mentioned the surprise ending. Is that something that you had thought out ahead of time, or did that just happen when you got to the end of the story?
Well, like a lot of the story, kind of like I had the basic concept, but some of it was developed as I was writing it. So yeah, the ending that came to me at some, because I would write a little bit and take a break, and then like the thought would pop into my head of like what would happen next, and that's what happened with the ending. And I just like, you know, the surprise ending, you know. And in fact, that kind of like led, because I kind of like, well, I want to know what happens next. So actually, I'm working on a sequel. I'm not there yet, but I'm like maybe 2/3 of the way through it. And the same thing is happening there. I have the basic concept, but there's some surprises just pop into my head. It's, oh, you know, what about this? But yeah, that surprise ending that just kind of like popped in me as I was writing it. And I said, oh, this is a cool little twist. Yeah.
When you write something designed in middle grade fiction like this, it can be tricky sometimes to write this. Of course, you're around young people a lot. What impact did that have on you writing this and be able to write something that really resonates with that age group?
Well, because to me, I mean, that's one of the greatest ways to relate to people. Even when I preach, I almost always like to use a story or an example because to me, like when you just kind of like just say words that may be nice thoughts and concepts, but people just kind of like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when it's a story, it always grasps them. So that's what I enjoy, because I think, you know, telling people stories is good. In fact, I had the privilege, somebody sent me an email that they had gotten a hold of the book and they read it to a class of visually impaired students. And I was so touched how they were captivated by that. You know, the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, and she even said, one of the kids said, oh, maybe I've seen Cloud People too. And I said, like, bingo, that's exactly what I would hope that the people would be touched in that way. So I love the idea of telling a story, because I think that's a great way to communicate with people, relate to them. You know, we need more of that, more good stories.
What do you hope the takeaway is? You mentioned that this imagination came out in this group that was reading it. What do you hope the takeaway is as young people and even adults read this story?
I hope in a way that, like, because I do, in fact, I just did it again today, but I hope that they will look up at the sky and see clouds and just kind of like wonder, you know, and maybe see Zahn,
yes,
who's the main cloud, kind of like looking down at them smiling. So I just hope that they would take that from me. I hope that they have a good feeling. And I've had a few people say, oh, what's going to happen next in the sequel? So, you know, maybe like looking forward to more of the story. But I just hope they leave with a good feeling. And like I said, maybe looking up at the sky from time to time and kind of like, oh, I wonder, you know.
That's interesting that you do that. And if you read the book, you're going to be curious and you're going to be out on a cloudy day and look and see what type of formations out there that reminds you of something in life and then talk about it. Let's talk about writing the book. And we touched on this the last time. Talk about the writing process. And you really was going in a pretty slow pace until COVID hit. And like so many authors, you sat down, you had some time, and you took advantage of it.
Like I said, I mean, like, I have a full-time job, and it's
yes,
we're a big parish, and I'm busy, so I'm often even busy at night in the office till later hours, and it was just difficult. Even now, like, I'm working on the sequence, so I just get to write a little bit, not even each night, sometimes maybe even once or twice a week if I'm lucky. But when COVID hit, you know, everything was shut down, and one is, like so many people, I kind of like, like, what are you going to do with yourself? You've got to be productive, got to be useful. And so I said, I'm going to take advantage of this, because I thought, well, this would be like my gift to finish this story. So I took advantage of that. So like going to work, I would come into my office every day and start working. And at that time, I really don't think if I had that opportunity, I don't know when I would have, I may still be writing it now, but COVID was a horrible thing, but
yes,
it did give me the opportunity to spend the time, and I actually was able to finish it. That was a good feeling. So that, yeah, like I said, it was like going to work. So I felt like I was being productive. It wasn't just wasting time.
It's interesting. You had sort of your own focus group that read the book and even got you, as I understand, to change. It was going to be a narrator, and then Billy is telling the story. Talk about the input that you got from some young people that you know, middle school students that read the book and gave you some advice.
Yeah, that was good, because my normal style is to, even back when I tell stories, I mean, I usually use the format of narration. And so that was what I did for this. And I shared the story with a couple of young people to just kind of like get their input. One about I wasn't really expecting that feedback, but the one said, you know, it should be told from the perspective of Billy, and it should be a little bit more edgy. So kind of like giving a suggestion about his character. So that was a great thing. So I actually had to start, that was another part of the work. I had to begin to rewrite it from the beginning with the story of him telling it. Now I think that was a great suggestion. I think it added to the story, but because I would not have done that on my own, but I think it was a definite improvement. So I'm glad that they made that suggestion and I was able to to do it here, make the adjustments.
The book is The Cloud People. The authors are guests on the program today. Kennard Tuzenu, that's T-U-Z-E-N-E-U. Monsignor has written the book, working on a sequel, excited about that. Now, was this the first book you'd written? And talk about a background. Had you written a lot in your life up to this point?
Yeah, that well, first, every week in our bulletin, I write a letter from the pastor. And that has evolved over the years. And that's not, you know, just kind of like a little theological blur, but it's about like stuff that's going on in the parish, in people's lives, you know, in the world. So it's an opportunity to relate to them. So I write for that. And I try to make it something interesting, not as I say, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yes.
And then it's been my custom every year at Christmas, I write a little story. And that's good, cause like it started out originally like, you know, you can't buy gifts for everybody. So my gift would be like writing a little short story. So like about a page or page and a half. So over the years, so that always was a part of me. And I think initially Cloud People was sort of like in that format, just a short little, you know, couple page. And then it just kept going and evolved. And I'm glad I did. And actually I enjoyed that. So
talk about
the initial to be a short story.
Well, the reaction of the parishioners, what was their comment when it's like he's actually done it? There's a book available called The Cloud People by our Monsignor Kent. What was the reaction?
Well, I remember that because I was so happy when I was able, when the book was actually published, I made the announcement of all the mass, and people were just thrilled and excited. In fact, that was been my biggest sales were for parishioners who were graciously you know, bought it. But yeah, they were very excited and happy about it, and got a lot of nice comments about the story. People were happy about it. They enjoyed it. So it was humbling. A nice reception and nice response.
The book has had excellent response. Everybody, of course, waiting for the sequel. I was going to ask you about that, and now there is a sequel in the works. Once you finish the book, that creative part is over. That's you've written that. The work is done. Now you got to figure out how to sell it and market it. Talk about your experience in getting this book published and then marketing it so people know it's available.
Yeah, that's the hard part, because that's writing it is one thing, but then the next thing, how to sell it, because to be honest, like that wasn't my original, you know, intent, you know, and that's another whole work, because what I realized is that unless you get hooked up with a publisher who accepts the story and they publish it, you're really pretty much on your own, and you have to rely upon you know, opportunities like this and other ways to advertise it and get the word out. So that's a little bit more challenging. I even tried a little bit to maybe see if it could be turned into a movie. So I had a couple of hints where I kind of like reached out to people. So nothing yet, but maybe one day, because I could also see it being you know, a little movie, kind of like it, and maybe people having little Cloud People dolls and enjoying the story. So it's a little bit hard to work to.
And the way you write is quite visual, so I can see this being made into a short feature of some kind. The book is The Cloud People. You find it available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Talk about trying to juggle imaginative storytelling with real-life lessons. How do you take the story that you've made up and then incorporate life lessons in that? How challenging was that?
Well, but like I said, I mean, for me, that's one of the most important ways, I think, to communicate, you know, for me, faith, truth, lessons is through stories. So lots of time when I want to preach about something, rather than just like saying, like, do this, I'll try to tell a story. And so, you know, rather than just say, like, you know, you should have good family values, we'll tell a story about family values. I mean, one of the things I'm always telling you, particularly like kids, you know, about praying, you know, like you gotta, and not just like saying prayers, but like to learn to have like a conversation with God, and sort of like that's sort of stuck into the story, because the way you communicate with the Cloud People is like telepathically, you know, they don't actually talk.
Yes.
And so for me, that's kind of like a hint of like leading them into the way, like we can do the same thing in real life. You're with God, you know, it's not like telepathically, but it's the idea of like having mental thoughts and a conversation. In this case with Cloud People, like just a short transition to do that with, you know, with God. So like little hints of things like that in there, not like hitting you over the head with it, but kind of like just kind of like inviting you to be open to that and think about that, maybe without even realizing, knowing it.
You know, we've got a couple minutes left. You've mentioned this before, and I think it's so important, and maybe a lost art or becoming a lost art, and that's storytelling. Talk about the importance of that. I mean, you can lay things out in chronological order or whatever, sort of a factual newsletter that you put out, a sermon. When you do it, storytelling, that really captures people's attention, doesn't it?
Oh, great. In fact, I remember when I was in the seminary, one class in particular, and it wasn't even in preaching, it was in one of our systematic theology courses, you know, and the priest was talking about one of the theories of redemption, you know, why Jesus died on the cross, and he told a story. It's actually called the mousetrap theory of redemption. But I remember, and he said, when he finished, he says, I noticed you. He says, you know, you're really paying attention. And then, of course, he made the point, you know, how story. So that particular lesson in the seminary for me kind of like brought that to light. But I noticed myself, and even sometimes when I have a sermon ready, so that's what I put. And I said, no, I got to have a story. And many times that's what people relate to afterwards. You know, they remember the story.
Yes.
And I think that makes a huge difference. Yeah.
I mentioned maybe becoming a lost art. Is it? Do you think it's something that maybe the younger generation, you deal with young people all the time because of technology and the way we consume media now, I wonder if storytelling will be an important part of it.
Yeah, you look at back over history, I mean, like so much, even the Bible, I mean, that's basically storytelling.
Yes.
I don't mean like just like made up stuff, but I mean, it's telling a story with a lot of stories, you know, and over the year, different cultures, I mean, stories have been a part of that. Yeah, I do think we are losing that a little bit, like with technology. And as I mentioned back in the beginning, I think a lot of the stories that the kids are focusing on are more dark. So I think we need, you know, positive stories that deal with good lessons. But yeah, I think it's not as prevalent as it once was, and I think it should be, because it's a great tool. And even that goes along with, you know, just communication, even when families get together. I mean, like, I know in our own family, like, you know, we're telling stories, you know, we remember when it's laughing about stuff. I mean, that's great thing. In fact, I just had a brief family vacation, and so what did I do? I told stories, and that was one of my letters. I call it my little travelogue, but it wasn't just, you know, like, so little stories about things that happened on vacation, and people, they enjoy that because they relate to that themselves. They think of, you know, their own experiences and their own stories.
Yeah. What a great story for young people to be reading. You've got this relationship between Billy and Megan. You've got the relationship between Billy and his grandfather, and how they're all interacting together. And there's not a serial killer at all in the book, The Cloud People. So there's no darkness in here. It's all a very positive message. When do you think, no pressure on you, but when do you think the sequel will be available?
I'm hoping to finish the actual writing, you know, by the fall. Of course, then begins the process of publication. So I would love to have it done before Christmas, but I don't know. I think this one, I'm like, you know, maybe almost 3/4 of the way through the story. That's the rough draft. Then I have to go back and make sure that it makes sense, you know, correct spelling and grammar and all that kind of stuff. But I think I know where I want to go with this one. So I have the ending in mind, so I just have to physically get down and do that, and then go back over it and kind of like polish it up.
How difficult is that to go back over it? You've written it once, you go back, you do editing, maybe 3-4, some people do 5-7 rewrites of something. How difficult is that? I would think that's sort of like, okay, I've done it once, there's no fun going back and doing editing. How do you look at editing? Is that something you enjoy, or something you'd rather not have to go through that every time?
Well, I do enjoy it because it kind of like you get into the story even more.
Oh, yes.
But it is a little bit more tedious, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's like little things, but other times, you know, you know, some things are a little bit bigger, so it takes a little bit of work to sort of correct that. So, yeah, that is a little bit harder. But I find that even that's sort of like when I preach, that's what I do. I get kind of like the basic concept, but then you have to sort of like a sculptor, you're sort of like chiseling it away and kind of like bring out what you want. It's kind of the same thing with the story. You have the basic format there, but now you got to go back and kind of like, you know, get rid of the, like, what's not important or extra or doesn't fit in. And
I'm excited. I ask you when you thought it'd be done, and I'm thinking you're going to say, "I hope by the spring of 2027," but you've got it ready and could be ready yet this year, and would love to have the chance to talk about that as well. The Cloud People, the name of the book, by Kennard Tuzeneu. That's Tuzeneu. Monsignor's book is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. My thanks to King Pages Press, the Monsignor's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it deserves. Monsignor, it is always a pleasure having you on the program. Go out, enjoy some of the rides, some of the food for the carnival. Thank you again for spending time with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks. You have a great day.
You as well. And information on today's program and Monsignor Tuzeneu at our website, which is thisweekinamerica.us. We are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.